So, Scott Hogue from the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast. I'm sitting here with JG Chirapurath. He is a data product marketing manager at Microsoft. But go ahead and introduce yourself real quick, kind of let people know where you are, and then we'll get into some questions.
All right. So I'm privileged to basically run the data product marketing team. I'm a general manager in cloud and enterprise, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome, thanks. So I wanted to kind of walk through a couple quick questions around data platform and things that go into that side of the world. So if we look at tooling like Azure, it's just been growing at a phenomenal rate. You know, we get 500 new features a year and things just keep coming and coming and coming at us. So, you know, from a customer standpoint or from a deployment standpoint, if I'm somebody who operationally has to run these things, how am I going out and figuring out what's the right product for me to use? You know, I've got data lakes and data factories and analysis services and machine learning, and the list grows and grows. So what's the best way for people to kind of keep up to date and understand where they should be in a platform for, we'll call it complementary services?
Yeah, I'm very happy to answer that. You know, when you look at the world of data, you can actually really boil it down into three things, okay? People essentially have operational systems. That's what apps use to run. They extract data from that and they drop it into analytic systems to drive insights from it. And then finally, given that there's been an explosive growth of data, there's a lot of data that's landing in what is commonly known as now a data lake, right?
Sure.
So what's happening today is this data is split across on-premises and the cloud. So what we find is that the vast majority of our customers occupy that hybrid space. They are not all in the cloud, neither are they all on-premise. So our basic sort of story there breaks out in that exactly those three ways. So on-premise, we have one product, SQL Server, that actually is an operational system. It's an analytics system, has things like BI and AI already built in, as well as a data lake for all kinds of data. In the cloud, we have a similar fork. You have SQL DB, which was a SQL database, which is our operational system. We've recently, at Build, we also announced support for other databases like Postgres and MySQL running as native services in Azure.
Which is a great thing. Some of that other stuff was...
Yeah. Then for all of the NoSQL stuff, we've got Cosmos DB. To complement all of that, we have SQL Data Warehouse, which provides you with that analytics base. And then, of course, all of the tooling that supports data movement between all of these systems.
Awesome. So really, we're looking at a kind of attacking all those components from extraction to transformation and data loads and everything along the way. And you had some announcements around some new extraction services too, right? Like database migration syncs, helping customers be able to take their existing data sets from on-premises and onboard them into things like Azure SQL.
That is correct. So what we announced was exactly that. And frankly, we see two kinds of customers. We see customers who are committed to keeping data on-prem for various reasons, either data sovereignty issues, regulatory reasons. So they've got a ton of data sitting on-prem. For customers such as those, what we announced was SQL Server 2017. This now natively runs on Linux and Docker in addition to Windows now. It's a huge deal because it sort of furthers the whole concept of our choice and flexibility, you know, that promise that we made to our customers in a very fundamental way. Now, the second type of customer are customers who essentially say, okay, I really want to move a set of my data into the cloud. Can you make it easy and economical for us? That's where Azure Database Migration Services, SQL DB or SQL DB database, Azure SQL database as a destination for it, and then a financial incentive called Azure Hybrid Benefit for SQL Server that allows you to make it the most economical sort of mode for you to move on-premises data, should you care to, into Azure.
Awesome. So I see a lot of customers that tend to stick more to like infrastructure workloads or kind of lift and shift scenarios, right? So, and even for things like that, if we do a database migration service, now I've got my data over, but it's really just sitting in SQL. So how do we get customers to kind of go to the next level and drive things forward? So getting away from, you know, traditional relational data services, and you mentioned Cosmos DB, so highly performant, highly resilient, crazy resiliency across the platform. You know, just a beast when it comes to storing unstructured data and pushing things out there. But getting everybody comfortable with some of those newer workloads and then being able to put in place some of those complementary or adjacent capabilities. So if I do eventually get my data out of SQL and I get it into a data lake, you know, maybe I want to use analysis services and, and attack it and go at it that way. So what's the best way for kind of customers to go out and learn more about those services and really understand how to go from, you know, crawl, walk, and let's start running?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great question. Actually, we have a ton of, you know, guidance that customers can access on Azure.com that explains some of these patterns and how you can put these services together. The reality is Azure, whether it's Azure, whether it's SQL Server, from a data perspective and indeed from the Microsoft perspective, we're about flexibility and choice. We meet our customers where they are with the choice that they might need to run their systems and run their applications way better. So when you look at the cloud and you look at Azure, that's really what we present to our customers. We don't, you know, I always say in our teams, right, we should not force extreme choices on our customers. And I think you'll find that across SQL Server and Azure, you know, there are no extreme choices. We present the full spectrum of things that customers can use. So the way I put it is, if you are a fan of SQL Server and the technology that makes SQL Server, then you must consider SQL DB because it's built on the same technology. If for some reason you're committed to the open source world and you like things like Postgres and MySQL, then we have those choices for you. If for some reason you are more committed to the NoSQL world with, you know, things like Mongo, Gremlin Graph, Cassandra, we've got this fantastic product called Cosmos DB.
Which is super interesting. I think a lot of people miss that, right? They tend to, especially if they've been in the Azure space, they've seen things like DocumentDB come and transition over. And there are these great new translation layers in place for them. So if I'm you know, already on an app platform and, you know, Mongo's my thing, I've got native Mongo translation on top of Cosmos DB and literally just point to a different endpoint and I'm up and running and going across there. So a little bit, you know, of kind of our audience, we tend to be a little bit more operations focused and IT pro focused. So I've seen a couple announcements on the networking and kind of security platform side that tend to, they look like they'll drive into these services nicely over time. So roadmap-wise, are there plans to continue to grow into like application security groups? And I saw there's been some announcements around networking and network security groups to even be able to drive service-to-service security. So for those customers who come from that on-prem world and they're used to having, you know, checkpoint firewalls and, you know, their Cisco router over here and they're playing and everything, and you know, they have fun. Now they've got to transition to software-defined networking and learn a whole new way to lock the world down and maintain that trust component in there. So is Microsoft kind of considering growing out, you know, that suite of security products as well? So service-to-service and, you know, everything, load balancers and...
Actually, absolutely. I think the way we sort of look at Azure in general and particularly data is that, you know, one of our pillars is to be the most secure, you know, in terms, and not just in terms of vulnerabilities and things like that, but also in terms of access, in terms of, you know, privacy requirements and restrictions. So, you know, we understand that our customers occupy a complicated world in terms of security restrictions worldwide. And it's our job and our mission to provide the best we can to help with that. Even things like, say, VNet support, you know, fundamentally, we build it in. And we build it in a way that it's easy to use and it essentially understands the context on-prem so that you can use it very well in the cloud.
Absolutely. No, that's all great. So this has been excellent. So as everyone looks kind of to the future and, you know, they're sitting here and they're saying, there's all these great services out there. I know you mentioned things like Azure.com and Azure Docs and being able to get in there. And are there any other kind of key learning resources you would point people to? So we've got Channel 9s and MVAs and things like that. Is there anything else people should be looking at?
I think that is the best place to start. You know, one of the things we do very well is that when, you know, our, you know, sounds, it's a very boring thing. Our documentation is fantastic. And, you know, just before I returned to Microsoft, I was at a, you know, I worked at a customer. It's only when I was there I understood the value of the power and the value of Microsoft documentation. It is fantastic because it's sort of, as you said, the crawl, walk, run is very easily described. And it sort of takes you from, you know, even sort of complex analytic scenarios, it takes you from where you begin to where you can get to, you know, you're just going out blazing fast.
Perfect. Well, thanks, JG. I really appreciate the time, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.